What a mighty God we serve indeed. They've never lost a battle yet. About 15 billion and zero. The devil still ain't figured it out, has it? We're going to talk about that tonight. Jude, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn there. Before Revelation. Not quite a part two, but I don't know how to say it. Just a little further thought on this that we read here on Sunday about the art of Christian warfare. I'll give you my title here in a minute, but let's read verse 3. And we'll skip down here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And let's go to verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise the dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil those things which they know not, and but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, and reign greedily after the heir of Balaam, for reward, and perish, and the gainsaying of Korah. It's not a group you want to be a part of. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose roots fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved forever, or the blackness of darkness forever. Let's just go with this tonight. I've been praying about how to title this. I've got the thought. Let's call it this: the attack. Attacked on three battlefronts. Let's say it like that. Attacked on three battlefronts. I'm talking about Christian warfare now. So let's see what the enemy's got in store so we can whip him. Let's bow our heads together for a moment. If you have a need in your heart, say, Lord, you know my heart. I know your word's the supplier of my need, and I want to raise it to you tonight. Amen. God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for everyone that's here tonight. We pray you bless them, Lord, for their sacrifice of love here. They could be doing other things, Lord, but they're here to raise their hands. They're here to raise their voices and express their love to you tonight. Pray for those, Lord, that couldn't be here, that would want to. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them tonight. You'll give them strength. You'll give them just a revival in their soul, and all the strongholds of the devil trying to keep them out of the house of God will just keep crumbling down, Lord, and you'd reign in every life that you've ordained, Father, for this time. We know that Satan's on an attack, Father, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we come against you, devil. We come against the gates of the enemy because we've got a name that you can't defeat, devil. And we come tonight pronouncing that anyone sick in this place will leave today healed. Anyone discouraged, leave encouraged. Anyone empty, Lord, we know they'll leave filled, for you promised it, Lord. We come together in faith. We come not doubting anything, but knowing, Lord, that you said you'd be here and you would give us the desire of our hearts. Clear us, purge us, Lord. Make our minds, our souls, our bodies just like you, that we'd be in your very image. Mold us tonight, we pray, and have the preeminence. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just a little recap, just to kind of give everyone a little footing on where I want to go with this. I talked on Sunday about the art of Christian warfare and how we fight as Christians. Many times it's misconstrued. We think we've really got a part to play, and your only part to play is to get out of the way. The only part to play is that Brother Alexander, I believe, said last Wednesday, God can't do nothing with your human ability. It's time to go ahead and realize that he can't use that. He can only use you moving aside and letting the Holy Spirit take the word and bring life to it. And that's what God's wanting out of us. As we watch here in verse 3, we were supposed to contend for the faith. And it wasn't just something that Jude thought to take lightly. He said it was needful for me. He had noticed these saints needed a shaking up. Yeah. He still said to the beloved, just because you get a little off path doesn't mean you're gone. All right, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're in. That's right, and that's what the epistles, every one of them, I've never heard anybody give me a different interpretation just yet, but the epistles are written to Christians.
That's right.
They're not there to convert souls. They don't. That's not their purpose. The purpose is to take those that are converted and show you who you are, show you who the enemy is, and that way you can whip the devil's kingdom like you're predestinated to. And that's what we're here tonight to talk about, is how are we getting attacked in this last day? He was told, as Jude was telling the saints, he said, I gave all diligence. That means he gave his time, he gave his efforts. So obviously this was very important to Jude. He could have talked about anything. And in 25 verses, he's hammering on one idea. We've got to stand for the faith. Yeah. We've got to stand. It was given one time. The revelation given once, right? Stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. Yep. And we might be the only 5-10 left, but we'll stand on it because it's thus saith the Lord, and it cannot fail.
Yeah.
That's right. He said, I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation. There ain't no big eyes, little U's, are they? And if you've got big eyes and little U's, you ain't got the right doctrine just yet. Lord, help you to pull the scales back and see we're all one in Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And the word contend means that there's a struggle. It means that there's a battle. That's the whole point of contending. There's two fights coming, two sides coming against each other.
Amen.
And as I expounded on Sunday by the help of the Lord of how Michael contended with the devil, a little bit different than a lot of Christians like to fight with the devil. When the devil shows up, oh my, we just let him have it, don't we? You stupid devil, I can't stand you. You're always doing this, you're doing that. Why don't you just get up and leave me alone and stop picking on me? That ain't how you beat the devil. You tell him what to do.
Amen.
Just say it. Don't give him no credit. We give the devil way too much credit. When they were sitting here disputing about the body of Moses, and we talked about that Moses went on that backside, Brother Branham said he went over there, and then all of a sudden the devil couldn't find him no more.
Right.
He said, Brother Branham said, why couldn't they find him? He said, there was no human pallbearers. They couldn't take him where he needed to go. That God sent down some angels to pick him up, take him where he needed to be.
Right.
We find him later there on Mount Transfiguration. Isn't that right? Still recognizable. The disciples knew who he was, and I believe that's exactly what it'll be like in glory.
Amen.
I will have to figure out your name. I'll know it.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. I already know your last name, but maybe I'll just learn your first. We're all named Jesus Christ. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when Michael faced the archangel, the archangel Michael, there we go, talks against the devil contending over the body of Moses, you don't see him listing all these things the devil's doing wrong and how I've got authority here and listing it all out, and that's how we like to fight the devil. We'll go and not really command him. We'll say, look, I've got scriptures and quotes, devil, you got to leave me alone.
Sure.
That's not what you said. He said, contend for the faith. You hear me now? I hope they ain't confusing you. The faith is that the doctrine lives, and all I've got to do is say it.
Right.
And it takes over the problem. I don't got to sit here and tell and fight with the devil and stew with him. I tell him who's boss because I am his boss.
Right.
That's what Michael did. He didn't sit there and fight back and forth about Moses. He said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Yeah.
And guess what the devil did? Doesn't say there was any more conversation. He went ahead and left because he has to obey God. God help us to get a revelation tonight that when the Word of God becomes alive in you, and all you have to do is say, I rebuke you.
Right.
Amen.
He'll leave.
That's right.
He'll leave. Now, the only thing is, he's a good bluff. How many knows that about the devil? He's a good bluff. He'll make you think he ain't fleeing too.
Right. Sure.
He's really backpedaling hard, but he'll just keep screaming, hey, no, you can't. And then the second you start doubting, look, you're in more control of the devil than you know it.
Yeah.
The second you start doubting, you give him power again.
Yeah.
You strengthen him up again. And that's when you get defeated. That's why we don't contend. We're not fighting flesh and blood, as Paul said. We're fighting principalities and powers. We're fighting things that get into your mind and make you twist your mind up and think things that are crazy and come up with things that ain't even true in the first place, because the devil can't tell you the truth. He has to lie. He's the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. Amen. And as I took the thought a little bit further, and I'd like to do that today and get to where I was trying to go by the help of the Lord, we'll get there tonight. How many got faith for that?
Yes.
We'll get there. But there's three major assaults I see, and I'm talking down to the individual now, of how Satan tries to come after us. And I'm going to start with what might look the hardest, but it's actually the easiest. And that's from the outside. Satan's got his sinners out there that like to pick on you. He's got his sinners out there that like to make fun of you. He's got the ones out there that don't. Just know what to do on the job just to get in your buttons. And I likened that to when David went to fight Goliath. There was no questions on who the enemy was. It was Goliath.
Right.
Goliath had no problem saying, I'm a devil. You're supposed to be of God, but I'm going to whip you anyways. See, that it was very black and white, nowhere for misconstruing what was going on. David knew, that's the enemy, I'm going to kill him.
Amen.
And you can do the same when you're out there and some devil's using a sinner. You know right away, that's the devil coming after you. And you don't need to put up with that. You just rebuke him like Michael did. He'll leave you alone. And now look, it ain't that man now. Don't get me wrong.
That's right.
They might be serpent seed, but I'm glad God don't tell me that.
Right.
Amen.
But, I mean, there's always a chance, but the devil's using that person out there that you know is a sinner. He'll use them against you. That's right.
Sure, right.
And every disciple dealt with it. Jesus did. Let me just give you a few scriptures. If you got a moment here, I'm just going to read because I don't want to spend too much time here. 1 Corinthians 15:32 says this. It said, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Paul speaking of how he ought, how many remembers the story at Ephesus? It was a little crazy, wasn't it? They got in there, tried to have service, and before you knew it, everybody's screaming, praise the God of Diana and all this stuff, and they broke up the meeting and had the government in and everything. But you don't really find Paul too worked up about that.
Nope.
He wasn't really too concerned. He knew it'd be all right. And actually, when he got up there, he didn't have to say nothing. They just knew he was a Jew and an anything. Or the other man got up there as a Jew, and we don't want nothing to do with them. See? Obvious enemy. Can you hear me now? But he does still attack that way. Don't think that he won't. He will. He'll get people, and I've got 140 of them every day that he likes to use sometimes. Now, I ain't saying they're devils. I hope you understand that. But there's plenty of devils in a high school. There's plenty of devils at your job. There's plenty of devils that'll try to get in your house if you let them.
Amen.
Actually, I think there was 200 million, if I remember the count correctly, that came after just the bride.
Right.
That's right. Acts 5:40, Paul says this. Or sorry, this wasn't. This was before. He says that when they had it, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Outside persecution to where they beat the snot out of them and said, okay, now quit preaching Jesus. But look at that, look how they handled this situation. How many knows what happened next?
Yes.
It said, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And Paul, how many read Paul's resume before? And it's there in 2 Corinthians 11. And I'll just go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 11:22. He starts out and says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Did you have Paul as your pastor?
Come on.
And labor is more abundant, and stripes above measures, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. We think we got trials. How many times you died? And I'm sure he was hoping he was done, and sure enough, nope, God raised him back. You know, the same. He's there in a pile of stones. A couple brothers come over there and said, Saul, you ain't done yet. Come on, get out of there. Let's go. That's exactly what happened. That's, they just got around there. At least they believed in raising the dead, didn't they? Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You spend a night out in a river? I don't think so just yet. But look, Paul gives no glory to these things as if he's endured something very difficult.
Right.
Why? Because this was a very obvious, a very easily discernible battle. And he could tell, of course they hate me. They want me dead. Obviously that's the devil. Because why else would they be so mad that I'm just preaching the word?
Right.
Amen. But then the battle gets a little bit more intense. The devil realized that, you know, that doesn't always work too well. That'll get under some people's skins. It'll get some people to backslide. It'll get some people to say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this and this. I'll just go with everybody else. But a person that's got the Holy Ghost knows that's the enemy. It's obvious. I'm not going to listen to that.
Sure.
And we should expect trials. We should expect rejection. We've talked about that too. What did you expect? How many members of that? That's right. And what did you expect? Well, yeah, the devil don't like God, and he's going to come after his children. He's been doing that for 6,000 years. Ain't going to stop until he's dead.
Right.
He's going to die, though. Don't worry. He's going to get burned up with eternal fire like everything else in hell and all that sin and sickness and shame, and I can't wait.
Amen.
Now, that's kind of mean. I don't care. I'm done with this place. I hope you're the same. I the devil's the one guy I can say I hate
him. Right.
That's right. I can't stand the man or the spirit, whatever you want to call him, because I just want to see him burn and get it over with. He had his day to choose God. He chose not to.
Right.
That's right. He took a third of the angels with him. But then after that, you begin to see that the persecution from the outside, it's very obvious, and Satan is not, he's not a pushover. He's very shrewd in his business. He's got more tactics in his playbook, we'll say that way. And he begins to bring things in the so-called Christendom.
Right.
Sure.
To get believers against believers.
Yeah.
And he might even set an unbeliever. We were at it on Sunday when he talks about, Brother Branham talked about the church, Christ Ministry of God Revealed. He's sneaking an unbeliever in there, sat with some poison stuff. It'll get spread and everybody hates everybody.
Right.
That's right. And that's how the devil, that's his next move. Is if you can't get someone that you know is a sinner, I mean, obviously you say, okay, that's a sinner. He'll get someone that you think's a saint under a wrong spirit.
Right.
And if you're not careful, you'll think it's that brother or sister.
Yeah.
And he's got you both whipped at that point.
Yeah.
Because how can you beat him if you ain't identified the enemy right?
Right.
If you think the enemy is some brother or sister, I'm telling you right now, you're deceived.
Right.
It's not a brother or sister. Hitler, Obama's not my enemy. Hitler wasn't nobody's enemy. It's the devil that's the enemy of mankind. He's the one that's trying to get everybody killed.
Right.
And he's only got one tactic, that's to get people to disbelieve the word.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm making it real simple. We're going to bring this right home.
Right.
Jesus had to deal with this himself.
Sure.
And I'm going to just read it here. Luke 22:47 says this, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Pharisees, they figured out pretty well. They had their devils. Here's a man. Now we think, oh, Judas, we've got hindsight a little bit, don't we?
Sure.
We think, oh my, it was obvious, you know, we all know. None of them knew. He was the one that was going to betray Jesus.
Right.
He was probably the cleanest cut. He probably had the most rules in line. You find somebody that worries more about rules than loving God, you might want to check up.
Right.
That's that old religious spirit again.
Yeah.
If you're serving God out of anything but love, you ain't serving Him.
Right.
You're not. You're not. That's like husband and wife. If you're not serving your spouse because you love them, you're not serving them. I might as well just go build a robot to do what you're doing,
right,
because at least I don't expect anything out of it.
Right.
Amen, right? You expect some love there. But Jesus here, he walked with this man. He had given this man power to cast out devils,
yes,
to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and he thought it was worth 30 pieces of silver.
Yes.
Yep. And sold him out. And not only that, he gave him a sign. Of all signs to pick, right? He could have just said, I'll point at it. No, I'm going to get up real close. And we know that this is a holy kiss now. They kiss on lips or anything. They kiss on the back of the neck. It's just like our handshake in this day. And go up there. It'd be just like you going up to a brother, giving a big old handshake and a hug, and you're ready to watch him go die.
Sure.
You see how hard this would have been for Jesus? And look, did Jesus bring a railing accusation against Judas? Was he justified? Absolutely he was. He wasn't wrong at all. It's Judas that was all wrong. But that's not how you beat the devil.
Right.
There's only one way to beat him, and that's the word. And Jesus knew the word at that day was he had to die.
Amen.
That's right. Paul dealt with the same thing. I'm bringing it real simple, if that's okay. 2 Timothy 4:9 says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry." And we think, oh yeah, we remember Paul, and he's a great man of God, and he was. But look at the revelation at the day, how few knew who he was.
Amen.
Here's men, and we know that Demas in particular has spoken very highly in other books of the Bible, because for a season he walked with Paul.
Amen.
For a season, he held to the doctrine. Well, look, he didn't just leave like some of these others, I believe, that were named here, went to different places just because God had called them there. It says specifically, he loved this present world more.
Amen.
A man that stood right there and watched Paul's ministry, a ministry, I would say, unparalleled till this day, of healing the sick and watching miracles and things. And he sold it out for what? For what? And threw Paul under the bus while he was at it, I'm sure.
Amen.
Oh, that old fogey down there in prison, he ain't got nothing. Look what we got down here. We got the biggest church is thriving. We've got members like nobody else. He's down there just writing letters to a few of his outskirts out there. Who's right? Come on, judge it by its fruits now.
What?
God determines what's fruit and what ain't.
Amen.
Might look like a lot of good fruit, but when it's filled with poison, it's not food anymore.
Amen.
If I continue back there at 2 Corinthians that I was quoting from earlier, when Paul continues to go on with things that he suffered, he says, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, and he begins to bring it down to things, what I'm getting at here, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Yep.
In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without. See, now he's getting his climax. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Come on.
Who is weak and I am not weak? God, help us repent, I say tonight. Lord, forgive me for complaining about anything I'm going through. I ain't got that resume just yet, that's for sure. Amen. And if God, if he had enough power to overcome in that day, and we've got the same thing today, I've got enough power to overcome this day.
Amen.
Amen. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. God, help us to have that attitude. And when I am weak, then Christ can be magnified. When I get out of the picture, then people can see Jesus. That's the hardest thing for a man to do, is to step aside and realize that he's nothing without God. He's a nobody. He's no good. He's got no ability. He's got no talents. He can't help nobody. He can't help himself.
Amen. Amen.
And then that the verse there in Jude, what they were reading, I'm going to bring this thought to a close. He says in verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. So when Jude here began to describe some of these that were going in the error of Balaam and things, and we begin to put that on the outside, we begin to realize that's not altogether true. There's plenty out there that have, don't worry. But Cain was sitting right in the church for many, many a time.
Amen.
Balaam was a prophet of God.
Yeah.
That turned false.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Come on now. It says that, we know that, or what does it say, I've received a man from the Lord, and that's right, because God gave life to let Cain live.
Sure.
He gave Cain an opportunity to be Abel's ruler.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And Balaam could have been just as blessed if he'd obeyed the word, but it proved that he was never a part of it in the first place because he turned on the word.
Right.
He turned that gift and turned it around and twisted it to make money. And that's always why. The Bible told us why. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Not necessarily the branch of the stem, but it's the root.
Amen.
You trail that thing back, you realize that they just want something for themselves, because a man outside of God is just like an animal. He's just living for his own.
Right.
He'll do anything. He'll kill anything. He just wants to live. He wants to survive. But a man with God knows he's going to live, so he don't worry about none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
How do we beat this old devil anyways? First, you got to recognize him.
Yeah.
When you're out there in the world and they pick on you, that ain't John Smith or whoever and some, my student. It ain't them that's getting on me. It's the devil.
Yep.
He don't like me. I already know that. I shouldn't be surprised that he's trying to pick on me. Amen.
Right? Amen.
How do I fight him? Ignore him. Don't give him no attention. He doesn't have any power to do anything.
Right.
And if he gets too much in your face, just do what Michael did. The Lord rebuke thee.
Amen.
Leave him alone. Say, is that simple? Well, you got the Holy Ghost or not?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. See, if you're just saying it, you can just say that all day. Lord, beauty, Lord, beauty. There's plenty of people who quote the word off their lips. That doesn't do anything.
Right.
The word has to literally become in you.
Yeah.
That when you speak, it's not a man.
Yeah.
It's God speaking to a man or a woman. That's right.
Right.
So we brought the battle from the outside, and then it comes into the church. And on Sunday, I liken that to David and Saul. How the battle began to intensify with David. David was very calm and collective when it came to Goliath. But for some reason, when Saul started coming after him, things changed. You see David getting upset. See David needing to find a prayer closet and figure out what he's going to do, because this man is anointed of God.
Right.
Saul, now he was.
Yes, sir.
He was anointed king.
Amen.
And David respected what the word said about him.
Amen.
God help us to do the same.
Yeah. Sure. Amen.
Now, that didn't mean that David said everything Saul was doing was okay, but he still respected it.
Amen.
Amen. A lot more than what most Christians in this day want to do, isn't that right? They think just because somebody did something wrong, you got a right to bring, we just read there, a railing accusation.
Yeah.
And most time you won't bring it to them.
Yeah. Right.
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 Yep.
Right.
You'll bring it to Brother So-and-so.
Yep. Yep.
Brother So-and-so over here.
Right.
Over there. Over there.
Right.
And not knowing that the whole time you're possessed of the enemy.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Sometimes the devil, now listen to this. This is another one of his little trickier schemes, I think. He'll use someone else indirectly because he knows how you think.
Sure.
Watch. Somebody comes up and, you know, they shake hands, but, you know, they kind of look to the side when they did it, like, you know, and what are you getting ahead? Oh, they just did that because they had to. They didn't really like me. When really, you know what probably is? Oh, man, my son, I got to... He's about to run over there and hit somebody. I need to go take care... You hear me now?
Right. That's true.
Dismiss those things.
Yeah.
I've never seen you go wrong saying everybody's a brother, and I'm going to treat him like one anyway.
Amen.
Brother Brandon was known that he treated his enemies like his friends.
Amen.
Right.
And his friends like his enemies to the point you didn't know who was who.
Amen.
He got that example from one man. His name was Jesus.
Amen.
To where they did. He knew it the whole time, too. How many members that? The Bible says he knew from the beginning who it was that was going to betray him.
Right.
Right.
And he held it in his heart. He held the word in his heart that he wouldn't sin. That's right.
Amen.
To go, you know, if Jesus, you know, God forbid even saying this, Jesus would have just gotten the flesh. He could have just used his power of God and destroyed Judas. He said, nope, not going to the cross. Just kill him right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not kill him directly. Do what David did, right? That's what's framed this whole thing. Make it look like it's just some kind of coincidence.
God.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel led, brother, to. And it's just a coincidence that it did. Well, you be careful now. I want to back up. Did you set something up?
One.
Just going to let that settle wherever that needs to go. Because I'm trusting him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I trust him every day.
Yes.
I'm so grateful that he's never failed my trust yet.
Amen.
God help me to never fail his.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
And I think you know where we're going. That was tough for David. You know, he smote his skirt, saw his skirt that one time, and it says it smote him in the heart that he even touched God's anointed. Not even directly, but just his clothes.
Right.
And he got driven away, as we know, and Saul drove him to the Philistines, and he tried to look like a Philistine. It didn't matter. They knew better. Even the devil knew better. Because remember, the Philistines were going to go fight Israel. And the one guy's like, man, this David guy is faithful. We'll just bring him along. They said, no, he's an Israelite.
Uh-huh.
And he ain't no put on. He's a real one. He's going to turn on us when we get over there. And, you know, he would have.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that when Goliath made his deal. You know, if you beat us, or if you beat me, you all become our servants. And if I beat your war, we'll be your servants. That deal was off the second Goliath fell down.
Uh-huh.
Said, nope, you're all dead. And that's how you treat the devil in this warfare.
Yes.
We just like to kill Goliath, you know, we'll get this big thing out of our life and not realize there's still a whole army back there.
Right.
Yeah.
Little guy. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Right.
See, we beat that thing that used to bother us in the world, and God gives us the power to overcome it. And then we ignore, as we said, the little things. And if my brothers think I'm proud because I killed Goliath. Saul thinks I'm proud because someone else sang that Saul has slain his thousands and David's his 10,000. Like, and I'm sure it got into Saul's mind. David must have went around and told him to sing that. And the man is innocent as anyone else.
Yeah.
All the way to the end where we know David running for his life, and he's on the back hill, and I think he had the spear and things, and he said, I could have killed you tonight.
Yeah.
Don't you know I'm not your enemy?
Yeah.
And it says that Saul was in tears, and he said, my son, he said, forgive me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, and I believe with all my heart, that man, David saw the whole time. He didn't see Saul that was trying to kill him. He saw that man that had tears streaming down his face, that respected David, that appreciated what he had done. And David knew he was going to see him again.
Amen.
That's right. Unless Samuel didn't make it, and God forbid we got that kind of doctrine messed up. Why in the world would God have a prophet of God that he set up from a baby, right? And then he's in hell, and no, sir. He was there too. He's still there too, I believe that.
Amen.
And David never brought a railing accusation against that brother Saul. Even to where he died, what did he do? And we're still recapping a little bit on it. He paid respects. Not just any respects, he said. Saul and Jonathan, man, they were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. They never pulled back from the spear. They always fought with all, they gave their all for God.
Amen.
Some of us too proud to do that sometimes, I think. Go ahead and exalt another man, even though he had wrong. We understand that. But did he do something for God?
Amen.
We can relish in that.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it about a woman preacher. Remember, he said, I believe she was, there was a tomb or something. Don't give me the story wrong, but and he said he paid respects to a life that was trying to live for God.
Yeah.
Misbelieved? Yes, absolutely. Saul obviously did a lot of wrong, and he wasn't condoning that, but there's still respect for somebody that tries to serve God. I'm glad there's a church over there instead of a bar.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm glad there's a church everywhere around here, but I'm glad there's a church there instead of a strip joint. All right? I mean, I'm not going to be too far, but we've got the battle from the inside. We've got the battle within the church itself. But then there comes the real battle. There comes the real struggle, and this is where Satan focuses his main attention on, is you. David, king of Israel for how many years? Who knows? Had everything he could have ever wanted. He finally overcome, Goliath and all these armies, and Saul was done, and now he was king. He had the crown on his head. Yet, one pretty lady did to David what Goliath couldn't do. One pretty lady did to David what Saul couldn't do to get David to turn on the Word. That's exactly what he did. How many knows the Psalm 51? We sing the song, Created Me a Clean Heart, O God. It says specifically he wrote that after Nathan came to him and rebuked him for what he had done with Bathsheba.
Right.
David was not a prideful man. He knew he was wrong. And that's what we need to get sometimes. Is when we know that we've given ourselves to the enemy, we've watched the fruit of that produce, it's not time to go around and just, well, God knew this and God knew that. No, God knew you shouldn't have done it.
Amen.
And you did it anyways.
Uh-huh.
It's not time to put up a bunch of doctrines. It's time to just fess up and get right.
Amen.
That's right. Brother Branham said that in the Bible. He said God is looking for a zeal in the Laodicean age. And there in the Church Age book, Brother Branham, he said he's looking for a zeal in this age. What is it? The zeal to say, I am wrong.
Amen.
A zeal. Why? Because you'll do it every day.
Right.
You'll do it every day.
Right.
He said, oh, brother, No. I've got it all together. No, Jesus got it all together, and that's the only reason I got a chance. I don't think Brother Branham was blowing hot air when he said, I backslide 1,000 times a day.
Why?
Because it is. How many times and sometimes we let the devil get into control of us because we go, man, why did I knew better. And then you're disarmed. You're not doing anything for God at that point.
Right. Right.
You're just getting all beat up, aren't you?
Yep.
Let's just turn there real quick. Psalms 19. I want to read you the scripture here. I'm trying to get to the shouting part. That's okay tonight. Long road. But it's necessary, I think. I'd rather know truth than walk in it than just deceive myself.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalms 19 down to verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Amen. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me.
Yes, Lord.
He's fighting the real battle here, isn't he? Then shall I be upright, and then shall and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is why we need to bring the battle down to where I'm getting to now, because this is the actual battle that's going on. It looks like Satan is attacking on three different fronts, but really this is where his army's coming at, is right just between you and yourself. Right between you and your carnal desires. That no one else in the church knows. Nobody knows. Saul didn't know David had this problem.
Right.
Goliath couldn't care less. None of the Israelites knew about this, but David had something in his heart. And when it came time, it manifested itself.
Sure.
And I do believe with all my heart, had David been able to receive the Holy Ghost like you and I, he never would have got to that point.
Amen.
Sure, we're tempted, brothers, sisters. We're tempted to do evil. It's there all the time. But there's a limit when the Holy Ghost shows up in the heart.
Amen.
You can't keep going that way.
Right.
Even when you slip up, even when you do, you might get going a little bit one way. Oh, it don't take long. You can't take it no more.
Right.
Why? It's not your nature. You don't have nothing to do with that anymore. You've got a new nature, and that's what you serve God. That's what Paul was talking about. When we talked about Paul, he said, I have distresses and journeys, and I'm stoned, and I'm killed, and I'm out in the sea, and I've got false brethren coming up, and I'm worried about all the churches. Yet, we don't see it moving Paul too much.
Right.
There's one part in the Bible where Paul looks shaken, where Paul looks distressed about something. How many knows where that's at? Romans chapter 7. Can we turn there real quick? And I'll bring this plain as I can. Is this all right tonight?
Yeah.
Man. Let me read one other scripture while you're sitting there, just to backdrop that before we read it. I love the Word of God, I'll tell you that. Acts 20:22. Just listen to this, and then I'll go to Romans 7. And this is Paul speaking. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Anything mine, I'd be a little scared, right? Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I think I'd be really scared. Not only am I feeling like, well, maybe I'm going to get hurt. Now the Holy Ghost is telling everybody to tell me I'm going to get hurt and bound and afflicted.
Uh-huh.
Next verse. But none of these things move me.
Amen.
Whew. Why? It's not the real battle just yet. Just on the outside. It's just like the holies of holies, the three courts, right? The outer court, oh my, anybody, just come, any Israelite, just come on in and do. But then you go into the sanctuary, right? The inner court, then only the priests in there, your brothers and sisters. But there's another place. It's the holies of holies. There ain't nobody else standing around besides you and God.
Amen.
And that's where things can be troubling if you ain't right.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. You don't walk into Shekinah with a doubt in your heart.
Right.
You're going to be in trouble. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In Romans 7, Paul says this. Verse 13. What then, that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin work of death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. What's he saying? Before I thought I did wrong, then I actually read God's word and I realized I'm really doing wrong.
Right.
Right.
And then Jesus came and even magnified the law even more, that not only if you committed adultery are you done for, but if you even thought about it one time,
right,
you commit adultery.
Right.
He magnified it. What was he trying to show you? You can't do this.
Right.
And that's what Paul was saying. As he became the Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he studied the law. He tried to get saved the best he could, but he couldn't find that peace.
Right.
Because he knew what I'm about to read here about himself. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Like schizophrenia, isn't it?
Right.
He's talking to himself. What I wouldn't do, I'm allowing it. What's going on?
Right.
For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
How many times have I said, man, I hate you, Andrew. You're an idiot. What are you doing? Quit it, son, you know.
Yeah.
Let's go. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Amen. You're saying it don't matter if I'm right or wrong. I'm wrong, but the word is good.
Amen.
It's still right no matter what I do.
Yeah.
Now then, it is no more I that do it.
Amen.
I'm getting somewhere. I didn't mean to put you in bondage. We're not putting you in bondage. I'm here to show you how
yes.
he attacks you.
Amen.
Right.
We just read that, what Paul just said about it. Now he says this. Then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, now he clarifies, praise God, you got to do the same for yourself. That is in my flesh.
Yes.
Not in my soul. Now my soul has gotten joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Don't never
Amen.
Listen to the devil. Always wants to do the word. Always got a desire to do the word. And always got power to do the word.
Amen.
That's right. For in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, right there in the soul. It's always there. And that's the difference. Because even before you were converted, you had that.
That's right.
But the Holy Ghost quickened it.
Amen.
And now that power can start beating the flesh.
Amen.
When before you couldn't do anything about it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The devil just pulled you pillar to post, didn't he? Why? Because you might have won the outside round, right? You might have stayed out of the world. You might have stayed in church and tried to love everybody, but the devil still knew
he
could get you.
Amen.
Just like David.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he whipped anyone that came. Man, pure faith, pure love. He cared for God's people. He was there for them. He was a great shepherd.
Amen.
But the devil knew something about him that no one else did. And he exposed it.
Amen.
And he'll do the same for you and I. That's right.
Amen.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know to take notice when the Bible says something twice in just about five verses, we might need to actually listen to it. And chances are it's a hard thing for us to listen to. That's why God's repeating it.
Right.
If we do wrong and we know in our hearts we don't want to do it, it's not you doing it because you are your desire.
Yes.
Your will, your word, your being is all the same.
Amen.
So for you to do something you know in your heart you don't want to, it can't be you doing it.
Amen.
It's got to be someone else. You've got to recognize the attack of the devil even when he uses your lips.
Amen.
Your mind. Make you think all kinds of things, won't he?
Right. Wow.
He'll make you say all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yes.
I heard, I think it was Brother Isaiah Brooks said something along these lines, but this is what I can remember of it. He said it. It's one thing to hear the devil say, oh, you're lost, but he doesn't do that way. He says it right here. You're lost. You hear me? It sounds just like my voice. If God can anoint my voice and speak, so can the devil, if I let him.
Right.
Sure.
And actually, Brother Bram said, the devil's just about harmless without something to work through.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in center, he only can get so much out of, but oh my, you're packing power he's jealous of.
Right.
Yes.
God, give us revelation tonight that the devil wishes he'd get a hold of the Holy Ghost and do what he wants with it. But he can't.
Right.
There's only one way into that Holy of Holies. You're called, predestinated, cleansed, washed, purified, and filled.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that Brother Bram said, if the devil did that, he'd be your brother at that point, and we wouldn't have no problems, but he ain't going to do that.
Right.
He's already done sealed himself out. For that, I do that. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Did he give that some sort of exception?
No.
We're talking about the attack, the battlefront he comes against you on is always there. Always. Remember the man that stood next to Brother Branham during the prayer line? And he said he had just the terriblest thought he could have ever had.
Right.
He just walked away and started crying because he didn't know how he could have such a terrible thought right there in the middle of God moving like that. When I would do good, evil is present. If you knew how many ministers, how many things we've got to put down that try to come up here when we're trying to minister in the Word, because the enemy is trying to attack the Word at all times, but I don't care. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to put up with them. Just ignore them. Do what the Word said anyways, and he will flee.
Yes.
Resist the devil. Win. Always.
Amen.
We get lazy on the job, and that's why he gets in and does all kinds of things to us. Get us thinking all kinds of things about others, and get us to hate ourselves, and get us to not think we can do anything for God because I'm just a wretch, I'm just miserable, I don't even think I got the Holy Ghost no more. Look, when you start thinking that way, and I just, Sister Suzanne, I appreciate testimony, I'm just going to use her just because you think of what God did in such a few years, how often we forget that.
Right, amen.
Because we think we got so much to go. If that God took you from that and brought you this far already,
amen,
he's going to get you the rest of away.
Amen.
That was a miracle from then. I can say the same. Some of you think, oh, no, Brother Andrew, you came out of the womb just a Christian. No, sir. Some people think that.
Yeah.
They, oh, no, you were always this way and this way. I was like, boy, you don't know.
Oh,
you don't know half the story. You actually don't know any of it, really.
Right.
You just get to see the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
We know that that don't sink ships.
Yeah.
It's the rest of it that does.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't mean to put her on the spot, but she was over the other day and sharing things. And just praise God. I said, thank you, Lord. People want miracles. What else do you want?
Amen.
Somebody getting saved.
Amen.
Changed.
Yes.
Molded into the image of God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Makes it all worth it as a minister. I'll say it. I don't care what anybody's got to say about anyone. They want to make fun of this and make fun of that and get mad about this. I don't care. When I see people coming and getting the Holy Ghost and getting saved and serving God and being changed from death unto life, it's all worth it.
Yes, it is. That's true.
I'm sure glad Jesus didn't just get all mad about it and fuss about it and stew about it until he never went to the cross. I'm glad he endured it knowing what he would get for obeying the Word, which is you and me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For I delight. He's talking about a law that when I'm going to... This is a law. It's not something that can happen and doesn't. It's a law. A law is supposed to be what it is.
Right.
There's not supposed to be. You know, in math, we've got laws, and that's supposed to stay true all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, this is a law, that when I'm doing good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God. Now listen, we think evil like out here. I'm talking right here.
Right.
That's where he comes in. He can't get in your heart now. Am I?
Right.
Praise God. He's sealed out. Can't get in there.
Yeah.
But he can get in my mind.
Yeah.
And that only as long as I let him.
Right.
That's right.
Well,
see, we're not remember I said that on Sunday. We're not immune to the devil's attacks.
Right.
But we're immune to defeat.
Right.
He can't beat us.
That's right.
He cannot do it.
Amen.
Excuse me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. See, he had done lost his old mind. He's talking about the mind in Christ. That's my mind now. It's like, God, give us the same identification.
Yeah.
What I used to think in the world, how the devil tries to bring that back. That's not my mind. I've received a new one, and I have it.
Yeah.
I have the mind of Christ because Paul said he had it when he got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's right. This isn't just some other spirit. It is literally the Spirit of God that brooded across the a world of chaos and brought the most beautiful place there ever was.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that God dwells in me? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Devil's a chump. I'll tell you what. We just get a revelation of that. He's a chump. He can't do anything without you.
That's right.
Without you giving over, he's done. And he knows it.
Yep.
Yes.
The devils believe in God. But remember, it's just intellectual faith. They don't really have revelation like you and I. But they know he's there.
Right.
And they can recognize him when he shows up. And they know what happens when he does.
Right.
So they'll keep you from everywhere but your knees. Isn't that right?
Right.
That's right.
He'll keep you busy from everything. Reading everything but the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen to everything but a message.
Yeah. Sure.
And I'm just saying my message. I mean the message of the hour. I think we ought to be listening to it more.
Amen.
Right.
Crafts are included.
Yeah.
Nothing else gives life like this message. And people throw you under the bus for that, but I don't care. Nothing else has worked.
Amen.
Right.
You can listen to Christian radio. It's fine, but it don't work.
Amen.
It don't bring life. Just had a I'm just going to go there. Had a man get on there, and they were having a testimony time. I was just listening. I did listen between school and home. It's there out of Lyme. I forget what it's called. WTGN, Witnessing the Good News. They had a man on there. They were interviewing this pastor man. The first thing they talked about is how he was a divorced man. He's remarried, and now he's pastoring the church. And I said, God, why is this mess here? And I'm not even saying that. I understand a pastor is supposed to be the husband of one wife. All right, that's the Bible. And we've got our feelings and things about that. I ain't saying the man ain't saved and trying to serve God. I think you understand me. The point is how simple the message is. How simple this Bible is, because we have the message. And without it, we'd believe any old thing.
Right.
And done it for years and years. And you think, well, what can God do with that? Well, he'll get a penny's worth, maybe. All right, that's all he got out of a lot. But he got a little bit.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't want to be no penny. I don't want to give 30-fold, 60-fold. I want to give 100.
Amen.
Amen. And he can only get what you give.
Right.
That's just give it all. It's the free gift that costs you everything. That's
amen.
Right. But when you realize that your everything ain't worth nothing, then it's easy to do it.
Amen.
Right. Praise the Lord anyhow. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. You find me one other scripture Paul talks like that. Why? This is Christian warfare at its peak.
Uh-huh.
Is Paul versus Paul. Is Andrew versus Andrew. Is you versus you. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The one I have to live in. The one I got to pack around. The one I got to look in the mirror. Yeah, you got to deal with him. You comb him up. You make him look nice. Yeah, he's your worst enemy. It's like you just going up to Hitler and giving him a bath. And say, we'll just make you all pretty, Hitler. We're going to do all this. And you being a Jew, and he's going to try to kill you. That's exactly what we do day in and day out.
Uh-huh.
And we'll pay him more attention than what the inner man's got to say.
Yeah. Sure.
We resurrect the old man way easier than we ever resurrect the new man.
Right.
That's right. Because I'm a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from the body? See, the body of this death. I'm not of this death, but the body I'm living in is. It was born in sin. It was shaped in iniquity. The same, that's where David, I believe he says that there back in Psalm 51, if I remember right. But that's where he was born in sin. Why? He said, the only reason I did that over here with Bathsheba is because I was born in sin back there. I needed a new birth. What's our problem? God has sent us a new birth.
Amen.
That I don't have to be that old man no more. I'm a new man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have to live in fear and bondage and all these things. Because Paul, look, I'm getting there now. He comes to this conclusion, and he looks like it's over. Pretty dark and dreary, isn't it? I'm trying to do good. I can't do it. I got a law that keeps me from doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am. And he says this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself, the real me, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, that man that's dead, that stupid rotten carcass I'm dragging around, that I serve the law of sin. There is, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, not to where it's not going to attack you, but you're free because you don't have to listen.
Right.
You don't have to succumb. You can be him.
Yes.
Why? There's a power in me greater than him.
Yes.
And if we'll just quit being lazy and oh, boo-hoo, it's too hard. And just realize, no, I got a God in me. Be God. I like that about Brother Raj when he's here. Be God.
Be God.
Be God.
Yeah.
Not another God. Be God. That lives in my soul. He's done with this thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Even if his name is Andrew Kressel, he's with me.
Amen.
The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, even got David once. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Glory to God, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. 100% of the time.
Amen.
But to be spiritually minded is two things. It's first life, but it packs peace. That's why he was saying that. Even in the midst of this thing, it seems like it's breaking down Paul, and I just don't understand how I can't. Oh, it's just so terrible. But in the midst of this, the law of life that lives in me gives me peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that's where your pride needs to go into the fire. People say, well, I got over cigarettes, and you ain't over yet. There's only one gets hit you over cigarettes. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
I got over lust. No, you didn't. You didn't do nothing. You're fighting with the carnal mind, and that's why you get whipped.
Amen.
That's why you get beat. That's why you can't have peace, because you're trying to fight it carnally. Because you're thinking, I can take my carnal mind, and I don't have to think those thoughts anymore. Hope this is giving some revelation tonight. It's helping me, that's for sure. Just want one thing for the people of God to realize, that God does love you, and He's here to talk to you. And I can't do anything up here just the same. I've got the same flesh you're packing around. I got the same devil that try to get after me. But greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Amen. Because carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So don't try. Just rebuke it.
Amen.
Yes. I'm not that mind. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to yield to that devil. You might as well just go ahead and leave. Because I'm going to think on those things that are pure, holy, lovely,
Amen.
Because I've got power to do so.
Yes.
Amen. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, bring it home, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we have so many times, and even in this message, we get away. Brother Alex is talking about that church in Africa, don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What in the world do you do with that there? If you don't have God's Spirit, you're none of His. You don't have anything to do with His kingdom. You don't have anything to do with the new world. You've got to be a part of His Spirit, because without it, you'll never walk in the Word of God.
Right.
You'll always have to resort to some mind, and there's only one other choice. It's the carnal mind.
Right.
And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It always will be. It cannot be converted in this life. That's why God didn't worry about that. He gave you a new one.
Amen.
And really, that's the message. You already had that.
Yes.
This other thing's the byproduct.
Yep.
That's what you were in the beginning.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus came to this same point too. I'm going to wrap it up here soon, but I'm going to bring a few quotes out. You got a little bit more time?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus came to this point. How many knows that? He had dealt, we talked about on the outside, he dealt with them Pharisees for years and years and knew all about them. Then he got down to Judas, and that was hard. But then there came a time before Judas even really manifested, where he was in the garden and began to get a revelation. This is really coming to pass. I've known it for years, right? He said he knew what he was. He said, I came to earth to die. That's why I'm here. But here it comes. How many of you have had that thought? Oh, the rapture, the pleasure, you know, this is awesome. And then you begin to think, wait, this is really going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
And you begin to think, I'm sure you do like I do, what about those that aren't?
Yes. Yeah.
Because right now, we're the world's hope.
Right.
We really are. They don't think it, but we are. Without us, there's... I'm not saying just us is us, but the Church of Christ,
right,
the body of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that's keeping the world together right now.
Amen.
That's it. Without it, it's going to fall apart.
Right.
It's barely holding together right now. To me, it's too obvious that the world is only being held together because God's trying to have mercy, as long as it's in our hearts.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Jesus got to that point where he's sitting there, and he said, you know, it's in the middle of the night, right? The disciples are doing what we do lots of times. Oh, just another prayer meeting. Just another Wednesday night. No big deal, right? Oh, he's going to go pray again. Okay, let's go pray, guys. But sleeping on the job, not knowing that this was going to be one of the greatest days in the history of the earth.
True.
Right.
Do you think the second coming is going to be any different? Do you think the rapture is going to be any different? It's just going to be this thing.
That's right.
That those that are predestinated will see it. just be like Enoch. All of a sudden, you're just walking, you're just going to a job, and you know, Brother Kane, you're low on that piece of glass, and you're like, wait a minute, what is that? That's not glass. Nothing's shining here. You begin to see a new dimension open up. You look down, and you don't got any scars in this. I'm telling you, this is real.
Yes, man.
I'm not. This isn't just a make-believe. This is real. God, help us to fight the good fight of faith until it gets there. Amen. That's why we want to know the war. That's why we want to know how Satan attacks us, because we're going to fight until it's over. The 11th hour workers, they got the same reward, but they worked an hour.
Amen.
We tend to think that they didn't have to work at all. No, they had to work some. And you might just sneak in here, and by the grace of God, 2 days before it's over, praise the Lord, work for 2 days.
Amen.
We won't all be religious on you. Let's go to heaven together.
Amen.
We don't care. If there's something you think about that, you've been serving the Lord long, I've been alive. We're all gone.
That's
right.
What did he do? He got down and prayed, and he prayed, let the cup pass from me. Why? He was beginning to fight with the worst enemy.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that Jesus, he purposely took on the body of sin.
Right.
He wasn't sinful by any means. He took upon himself our sin.
That's right.
So his flesh began to have our kind of desires.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me now? He was made like unto sinful flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. So he had mortality, he had desires, he had things that would come to try to pull him away. But he had an anchor, because he didn't bypass his theophany. That's right. So when they came, and he had all these thoughts, and he said, and he even says, let this cup pass from me. He couldn't help but say, but except, never mind. Thy will be done.
Amen.
That's right. He got to the cross, and he fulfilled this prophecy, right? Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he still was able to say, it's finished now.
Amen.
It's done. Brother Ram speaks on this thought, and you all know this, so I'm just going to read quickly here. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. He said, I've often said the greatest enemy I've got is William Branham. He's the one that gets in God's way. He's the one that gets lazy. He's the one that gets to a place sometimes when he thinks he can do something about it.
Amen.
That gets into too many ministries too, isn't that right?
Yeah.
You're going to see something wrong and think, well, we're going to do this. I'm going to just tear this. I'm going to... You ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
You're just going to make a mess of it.
Yeah.
Same with the other Christians. Well, I see this problem in church. And I'm... You know what that is? It's the carnal mind.
Amen.
Because
right.
You begin to think logically about the situation, not spiritually about the situation.
Yeah.
Amen. He gets, and then Brother Branham, like I've said, Brother Branham, Paul, whoever else you exalt, was not exempt from what I'm talking about. They
right.
went through it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they overcame.
Amen.
That's right. And we can too.
Amen.
And we will.
Amen.
Because we already did.
Amen.
Back in Christ.
Yeah.
He's the one that gets to a place sometimes where he thinks he can do something about it. And when he does, that shoves God right out of the picture.
Yeah.
But when I can get rid of that guy, when I can get to a place that he's out of the way, then God can come over and do things that William Branham knows nothing about.
Amen.
Then when God can use you, that's when God can use you. That's when he can use any of you. He can use anyone when we get out of the way. But as long as we got ourselves in the way, then we cannot. Another quote here, proving his word. Now to heal I cannot. You know that. What's a gift, Brother Branham? Something that you take? No. It's something you know how to get yourself out of the way. See, as long as you are there, it'll never work. William Branham is the greatest enemy I got, see? But when I get him out of the way, see, then Jesus Christ can use the body. Or we call it the revelation of the Son of Man. That's right. Why God could use that prophet's body the same as he did his own body when he was here on
earth. Amen.
Amen. I think I'll stop there. I had a little bit more, but I think you understand tonight. So let's stand together. 287. It's no secret what God can do. He is seen. Well, a little bit longer. I hope that's all right tonight.
Amen.
Probably why I think Brother Branham said we shouldn't have as long a song service. Maybe we'll preach a little bit longer, but I've been tired sometimes. Probably the word's the real reason we come.
Amen.
Because the bride of Christ has got a revelation that the word of God is not just some man's. thoughts. It's not just a lecture of some sort. It's God manifesting himself so we can see him. His words, as Jesus said, the words I speak to him, the spirit of God. We all know he's the source of all life, so it's all one. I pray tonight. There's just a few groups, a small group here tonight. Change the order of the service a little. Take these things and start to reflect on it yourself. You notice this battle taking place? I'm sure you do. Maybe you've only dealt with it on the outside, little. You wonder, why am I not here? Maybe you've only dealt with it when it comes, you know, in church, maybe brother and sister. You see, you overcome that, but if you don't put the focus off all that and put it on you, remember overcome those things. Because that's the root problem, is you're in the way. Once we push aside ourselves, once we can, by the Spirit of God now, not by yourself, by the Spirit of God, push yourself out of the way, you'll love your brother without trying. You'll love that sinner that just rails on you and rails on you. You'll have such a love for him that might win the man to Christ one day. You'll never win a blessing, I'll tell you that. I'd like to just ask if anyone has a need tonight, you can just come forward and I'll pray with you. I think there's a great atmosphere here. And I'm not trying to make it complicated or anything. I think it's a very simple message. Sometimes it's just too simple. It can be hard to apply. Just, I want to open it up. Because faith, I'm contending for the faith tonight. If you're sick in body, depressed, come forth for prayer. Spiritual attack, you say, well, I don't know what to do about this. I'll be happy to pray with you as well. God bless you, brother and sister. So they ain't what you do. We gotta get ourselves out of the way. Don't give all we're in. One thing to read close, and good luck. This Brother Andrew shows. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. You see the soul that's come forth. You know them well. I know you care about them. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Believe with them. Whatever's wrong, you say, well, I don't know, Lord. It don't matter. Just believe with them. I don't think they'd come up here and ask them something like that. But up here to ask them something. Thank you.
when we stand on God's mountain. No more doubt, no more flesh, no more heartaches. We're gonna run, we're just gonna walk free. Yes, he brought us home, we're just gonna run hug. There'll be no funny feelings, no more, no way. Ain't gonna be no such thing. Ain't gonna be no jealousy, no hatred, none of that. It's gonna be your and my love. That's what we're living for. That's why we're fighting. There's a way down. Watch them move. Don't doubt it now. Ain't no one now. We're going. We're taking everyone. We're leaving the whole behind. They're all going to be dancing. She's all with us.
Amen.
We're part of. I believe that. God in our house. Yeah. Hey, we're singing that way. Make it real, Lord. Sing it now.
Oh, after all this time.
I worried about what? I do.
What?
I let the devil do.
What?
Let it all be done there.
We'll share it here one more time.
Right there in the mayor's building. It'll come away. Oh, God, brush it right now. Right behind. And don't cry.
Press on, little Ellie. You'll come out and run all the way to the top.
You'll be floating for eternity. You'll have to go back down to your feet.
Oh.